All right, Alexander, let's talk about Mike Pompeo and General White in Iraq and what's going on there with Iran as well and the Shia militias. And we mentioned this in one of our before the video segments on how Pompeo is pretty much now running U.S. foreign policy now that the Trump White House, the Trump administration is absolutely absorbed in trying to handle the corona crisis. And Pompeo is really pushing for all kinds of sanctions and conflicts and just real nutty stuff. During this whole crisis, it looks like he's trying to capitalize on the fact that no one's paying attention to what's going on in the world. No one's reporting what's going on in Iraq and Iran with regard to a conflict, to the fighting that's actually taking place there. And we have this interesting story between General White of the U.S. Military and Pompeo. So take us into this story because this is really interesting.
Yeah, it is very interesting indeed. Now, what's been happening is that since the sort of clashes that took place in January, earlier this year, the situation in Iraq has been very tense. There's about 5,000 American troops there. The Iraqi parliament asked them to leave. The Iraqi government has left, asked them to leave. They have shown no sign of being ordered to leave by the U.S. government in Washington. And perhaps, in fact, definitely, in consequence, there have been increasing numbers of pinprick attacks on US troops in their bases across Iraq. And what has been happening is that the Pentagon and the general commanding, who's a man called General White, have been actually quietly withdrawing from most of these bases. Now, I should explain, most of these bases are actually shared by the US and Iraqi military. So the US troops are in one part of the base, the Iraqi troops are in another part of the base. The US troops have been pulling out, just leaving the Iraqi military in full control of the base itself. So they've been pulling out and they're now gradually concentrating in two bigger bases. And I expect that what's going to happen eventually is that these two bigger bases are going to be completely converted into American bases. I think that's the plan. Now, what happened? What has happened is, as you absolutely rightly say, foreign policy seems to have passed almost entirely into Mike Pompeo's hands. Mike Pompeo is an arch neocon, an arch hawk. He is always somebody who wants to take a strong, forceful policy on every issue. He seems to be the person who's been driving this very strange decision to have Maduro declared a sort of narco trafficker and to put a $30 million price on Maduro's head. That's the president of Venezuela. And he's also been tightening up the sanctions of on Iran at a time when everybody else, including the UN General Secretary General Guterres and the European governments, have been saying that they should be softened because of Iran's problems dealing with the corona situation in Iran, which where it's out of control, apparently. Pompeo has, on the contrary, been tightening them up. And apparently, he then pushed and may even have given an order that these pinprick attacks on US troops in Iraq should be responded to by basically an all-out military or offensive against them with, round-the-clock bombing by US forces, by US military forces. And what then happened is the General White, who, as I said, is the officer commanding of US troops in Iraq, got wind of this, and he apparently wrote what's described as a strongly worded letter, presumably to the National Security Council and to the Pentagon, in which he said that this was a totally wrong idea, that there are far too few troops in Iraq to defend themselves properly if there's an all-out escalation. Remember, we're only talking about 5,000 troops in Iraq at the moment, and that such an escalation could be bloody, and that the US could suffer severe casualties. Anyway, this is apparently enough to get the whole thing to the whole thing that Pompeo was demanding to be called off. So here we have proof that the uniformed military is pushing back hard against these aggressive policies that Pompeo and the other neocons in Washington are advocating. And it seems because these instructions for all-out attacks were called off, that Trump backed the uniformed military against Pompeo. I said in Trump because presumably it's only Trump who's in a position to countermand Pompeo. I say that on the assumption that the chain of command is still working, which I'm sure it is.
So Trump is involved then. I mean, there is some sort of check on Pompeo.
Yes, I think there is. I mean, I think that obviously, I mean, I don't think there's been any formal delegation of power to Pompeo. I think as Trump, as president of the United States, remains commander in chief, he makes the final decisions about when military units go into action. So he is still there in the loop, but he's very distracted. And I think Pompeo is using that opportunity to push his agenda as hard as he can. And on this instance, he was pulled back by Trump. But it's an interesting event. It's a really, really important event because it is extremely rare indeed for a military officer to stand up to the political leadership as strongly as this, and to take basically to take such a strong line and to express it in writing also. So that's a radical step to take. That's something that, you know, we should not discount. And it shows, to my mind, that the uniformed military do not want a war in the Middle East. They are absolutely determined that they're not going to get involved in any more conflicts there.
Well, shouldn't this have gone through Esper first before getting to Trump?
Well,
I mean, why is Pompeo, as U.S. Secretary of State, inserting himself in military affairs when I would imagine the chain of command would go from the general to Esper and then to Trump, and Esper would take it to the president? He would have final say.
Well, I'm sure Esper was in the loop also, but the hierarchy, and this is the established hierarchy in the US, is first the president, then the vice president, then the secretary of state, and the secretary of defense comes after that. So remember, the secretary of state is an office created by the Constitution. So he's in a different position from other cabinet holders. He's a much more powerful figure within the bureaucracy than the defense secretary is, at least in nominal terms. It doesn't always work like that in practice. But the other thing to remember about Esper is that, of course, he is something of a neocon himself. He's certainly not a moderate in most things. But, you know, ultimately, it does seem to have been a fight between Pompeo and White. The fact that White felt the need to write a letter shows that an order had either been made or was in the process of being made, and he felt he had to stop it fast. And all the information that's coming out strongly suggests that that order initiate it came originally from Pompeo.
All right, so Pompeo saw the opening and he decided to exploit it. He saw,
Absolutely, absolutely,
an ability to create some chaos and
absolutely.
some more war in the Middle East. And I think that's expected out of Pompeo. The question is, I mean, how much can Pompeo really run with this at a time like this? I mean,
Well, you
isn't it a
know,
little much, even for a neocon warmonger like Pompeo? Isn't
you
it
would
just a
have thought
little too
so.
much now
You
at
would
this
have
moment
thought
in time?
so. You would have thought so, but I think there's two things I would say about neocons. Neocons come across to me as absolutely fanatical people. I mean, I have to say that. And people like that are not going to let, you know, a thing like a health crisis in the United States or an economic crisis hold them back,
A pandemic and an
or a
economic collapse, they're
pandemic.
not going to
No,
let
I
that hold
don't
them
think so.
back.
I think on the contrary, given that they are absolutely obsessed with power, I think that might make them even escalate, actually. I think they might want to feel that they have to escalate in order to show that the United States is still powerful and show it to themselves also, to reassure themselves that the US can still carry out these kind of military strikes and bombing raids and things of that kind. I think that Donald Trump, who is not a neocon, sees things in a radically different way. But this is a strange mindset that the neocons have, and we should not expect them at any time to act rationally. They will act consistently. They will act in a way that is, makes sense in terms of their own conceptions of things, but not rationally in the sense that you and I understand it.
Well, there are a lot of reports that the US military is also getting infected
It
with
is.
the
It
corona
is.
at very, very fast and alarming
It is.
rates. So that's number one. And number two is if Pompeo were to succeed and start any type of conflict or any type of false flag anywhere in the world at this moment in time, I think the entire international community would just look upon the United States and the Trump administration and just be like, what the F are you guys doing?
Well, I think
I
they
mean, it
would.
would just be, people would just be literally
Oh,
stunned beyond belief.
I think they
So I think
would.
Trump realizes that as well. It
I
would be a
have been.
PR disaster.
I was going to make exactly that point. That's why I don't think it's going to happen, because I think that we will probably see similar things happening again and again. Pompeo taking things to the brink. Military officers who've now been given the example by General White, pushing back, and then Donald Trump coming back and reining Pompeo and Co. back and preventing it from happening. Because Donald Trump, I am absolutely sure, realizes that the United States needs another war at this moment in time. Like it needs a hole in the head, frankly. I mean, it will be an absolute PR political disaster. It
For
would be an awful mess. I mean, can I just say something? I mean, the other side, Iran doesn't need a war either at this time, but the US doesn't want one, certainly doesn't need one. So for that reason, I think, in spite of the damage that the damage that Pompeo is doing, the trouble he is making, Trump will in the end always rein him back. That's my own personal view, and I'm sure I'm right about this. In fact, I'm absolutely sure I'm right. The one thing I would say is that, of course, two things have now happened. Firstly, the uniformed military are speaking up. I mean, the other thing, I mean, I doubt that General White would have done this, would have sent a letter, put his concerns down in writing in this way, if he hadn't felt that there would be support for his position within the Joint Chiefs of Staff. I mean, I'm not saying everybody there would agree with him, but he would be he's putting himself so far out on a limb if he's acting by himself, that I would have thought that he'd have been very careful in advance to make sure that the rest of the military, or at least a significant part of the military, supported him. And I think that's an important change, because it might provide a further break from action in the future. Because we know that the military have pushed back on military action in other scenarios, but it's never been done in quite such a public way up to now. That we know who the officer is who's objecting. We know that there's an actual letter floating around, which he's actually written. So, that's quite a big shift. And the other thing I get to say is that, given that the military has taken this position, and given that the option of sending more troops to Iraq is being effectively ruled out, I don't think there's any possibility of Donald Trump authorizing that. The logic of the situation now, it seems to me, is that those troops are going to be withdrawn before very long. Because what are they doing there? They can't advance. So if they can't advance, they must retreat. If they are too few of them to be used in any actual effective military way, if they are so few that they are a target, then the only militarily sensible thing to do is to withdraw them. And if they're withdrawn from Iraq, they're going to be withdrawn from Syria too. So we are now much closer to the end game in the Middle East than seemed conceivable even a few weeks ago. And I should add, it's an end game, which I think Donald Trump wants. Remember, he's already taken steps to pull out of Afghanistan, and he was doing that before the corona crisis blew up. I think that this event will accelerate his pullout from Iraq also. And with MBS causing him so much trouble in Saudi Arabia, I don't think he's in any mood to do the Saudis favors by keeping troops in Iraq to take on Iran. So, I think the dynamics, this is an important event in itself, because what it shows about the relationship now between the military and the politicians in Washington. But the dynamic also, it shows that the dynamic is shifting and we are moving towards a pullout. That's how it looks to me anyway.
Absolutely. Take advantage of it. Get the troops back home.
Absolutely.
All this nonsense.
Yes.
Got much, much bigger problems, President Trump, to deal with. Much bigger
problems. Absolutely. Well, I mean, I was reading
about it. Doesn't need it. And Pompeo, give it a rest. Just give it a rest, Pompeo.
Yeah,
put the warmongering to the side just for a couple of months. God's sakes. I mean, Jesus. Just give it a rest. Give it a rest, neocons.
Well, they don't. I mean, so long as Pompeo is there. I mean, that's what Trump discovered with Bolton. I mean, apparently he did give Bolton last year multiple warnings to stop or at least slow down. And Bolton just went back and behaved exactly as he did. And I'm sure Pompeo will be the same. Until Trump sacks these people, which of course he did with Bolton, but until he finally sacks these people and puts in their places people with a more realist position, we're going to have these kind of problems all the time. And I predict that will happen after Donald Trump is re-elected in November, if he is re-elected. I have no doubt that Pompeo is on borrowed time.
Oh, yeah. These neocons only have, they don't have a reverse. They
no,
only have
no.
one
they,
gear.
They don't have reverse
Full
gear.
Throttle towards regime change, towards warmongering, towards destruction
Absolutely.
And death.
They don't have
reverse. They don't have a neutral, any of that. One gear. That's it.
One gear. Exactly. Exactly true. That's exactly right.
All right, Alexander Merkurs, thank you very much. Guys, if you like this video, click on the subscribe button down below. Click on the notifications bell. Smash that like. Make sure you are still subscribed to the channel, because YouTube unsubscribes our viewers all the time. It really sucks, but YouTube does do it. Also, donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and Subscribestar as well. Your donation helps keep this channel up and running. And go to the Duran shop and pick up some merchandise. We got magic mugs, we've got polo shirts, and we are also running a promotion with our good friends at Patriotic Legacy, where you can go to their site. I'll put the link in the description box down below as well, and you will get 20% off the Patriot Beacon, which is the absolute coolest flashlight in the world. It is made in the USA. Mm-hmm. And Alexander, I think you use that flashlight on a daily basis.
On an absolute daily basis. I mean, this is, if I can say so, the Cadillac of flashlights. It's torches, as we tend to say here in Britain. It is brilliant. It is the best torch I've ever had. And it is absolutely indispensable, because what with all the quarantines and all that now, I regularly now have to walk my dogs at night, because, parks and things get very full, and I don't see very well in the dark. So I have to rely on my trusty torch to keep an eye on what my dogs are doing. And it is the greatest, the best torch you will ever have. It's practically indestructible. It is one of those amazing things. Only the US really does it. These extraordinary, strong, heavy-duty things. You could feel it would survive, an absolute meteor strike. It is so beautifully strong and well-made. It's fantastic. In that respect, and for me personally, that's a real boon, because I'm a sort of fumbling person. But with this, I don't feel fear that if I drop it, it'll break on me because it would never do that. But so it's strong, it's purposeful. I can see where my dogs are going. And of course, if I need to call them, well, I can just put on the alarm and they come. In fact, they probably will come if they've heard that. But you know, they do. They come sort of hurtling back to see where I am. Now, in the dark, you can also you've also got, and in fact they have done
Dog is
it.
right behind you.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can see that there's also a compass. So if you get lost, well, I don't get lost in my immediate neighborhood, but you know, I've been on long drives and sometimes I get lost. And sometimes, you know, your sat nav breaks down. And if it's dark, well, you know, you can always read your map with your torch and you can get your bearings with your compass, which is also there. So that tells you how useful that is. Its batteries will never run out because, hey, it doesn't work on batteries. It's solar powered. Isn't that clever? And if you're in your car, and by the way, I love driving. It's one of the things I'm really missing having to do with all these quarantines. But, you know, I was driving, you know, I drove to Berlin. A few weeks ago, I drove to the Alps with Catherine, my wife, to do skiing there. You know, you can have it in your car. You can put it because it's got this magnet, so you can stick it on a metal projection somewhere so it doesn't get in the way. Strong magnet, by the way. It's also really useful if you're in the car because if you're in an accident, perish the thought. You can. It's got this facility. You can break your windscreen, or you can cut the seat belt. So it's got all those useful things. It's also got a USB port. So if your mobile phone runs out, or your iPad or anything like that, or even your laptop, you can recharge it. At least up to a certain point you can, because as I said, this thing doesn't run out. So it's absolutely a wonderful thing. I can't recommend it too strongly. I've had hit lots of torches in my time. I could never be without this one. I use it every day. It never fails. It cannot fail. It is the perfect torch. So if you want to have the absolute perfect torch, the Patriot Beacon is the torch. That is perfect. I say that with any hesitate, without any hesitation, and you can find all about it. Alex, at the end of this broadcast, will tell you how you can get it. You can support us and you can support our friends at Patriotic Legacy by getting yourself a Patriot Beacon torch. Of course,
And it ships internationally, by
and
the
it
way.
ships internationally. Thank you for reminding me, Alex. It goes everywhere. You can post things to, and the postal services are still working. So you can, if you're in Europe or somewhere like that, get yourself go to our, you know, Alex will tell you how, but you can get it from the United States. They will send you the Patriot Beacon wherever you are. But of course, we also have our own things. We have our amazing magic mugs, which we've spoken much of again in these anxious days. Where would I be without my trusty magic mugs, keeping me warm and sustained through the cold nights? It can be quite cold here, as you know, we work away reading all this extraordinary news at the moment that we're going through, much of it very depressing. And just to repeat quickly and again, they're incredibly strong. They keep your tea and coffee hot. You can put them in a microwave and they're not affected, but the handle remains cold and your tea is hot. They are very, very strong. So, you know, they don't chip or flake or break. I've had mine for well over a year and they're in perfect condition. They're as good as new. This one has the double-headed eagle of the Russian Federation, as you will find on Putin's cups and mugs and plates and bowls in the Kremlin. But I'm pretty sure we have the better magic mug. And we also have amazing polo shirts like the one I'm wearing now, 100% cotton, incredibly stylish, with a double-headed eagle of the Durand, different from the Russian one, by the way. It's our very own double-headed eagle, which looks over the entire world, east and west. That's why it's pointing in two directions. So these are our polo shirts, stylish and elegant. Smart casual to the, you know, absolute limit of what smart casual can be. And we've also got other types of shirts. We've got T-shirts, long sleeve and short sleeve, same quality, all 100% cotton. We've got V-neck shirts. We've also got hats and hoodies and stickers in our shop. And we've also got ebooks, which you can also read there. So we've got all these great things. You can support the Duran by coming to our shop. As Alex said, we get we lose subscribers from time to time because YouTube does those sort of things to us. So that's your way of showing your support for us. And you can also support us by owning these great things and by owning going to our friends at Patriotic Legacy. And at the same time, you'll be the owner of these great things. So don't hold back. Come to us. Come to our shop. Support the Duran. Alex will tell you how.
You'll find a link for the Duran shop in the description box down below, and you will find a link for the Patriotic Beacon also in the description box down below, along with the code Duran20 for 20% off when you order on checkout. Punch that code in. Alexander McCurse, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.